End of the 10th canto, the very last purport commentary on the verse is a verse written by Sri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. It's very wonderful, and you should especially listen to it very carefully. But we're not up to it yet. So you may have to come tomorrow also. I'm not sure if we will get there, because there's some wonderful purports here that are a little long. So, the chapter is entitled The Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories. Very much talking about his power and also his great dynasty. Because the greatness of the dynasty is just a manifestation of his potency. So, if the dynasty or the Shakti is so great, how much greater still is the one who produces actually that dynasty or that Shakti. But the reality is that Krishna is unlimitedly great. Unlimited Sadaishwarya Puni has unlimited power. That is impossible for us to conceive of. Therefore Prabhupada used to say that his father used to tell him that when Krishna wants to take away, and he has 10 hands, he will take with his 10 hands, and what can you do? Because you only have 2 hands. But if he wants to give with his 10 hands, then how much can you take? Because you again only have 2 hands. But of course Krishna has unlimited hands, and each of those hands is unlimitedly powerful. And even Krishna's name is unlimitedly powerful, because Abhinatvam Namanamano, exactly the same as Krishna. So here, the 47th verse in this 50 verses. 47, 48, 49, 50 in the 10th canto. So it's more describing, this is describing the glories of Krishna's feet. The heavenly Ganga is a holy place of pilgrimage, because her waters washed Lord Krishna's feet in the form of Vamadeva. And whose appearance day is it tomorrow? Vamadeva. So we're hearing this already. But when the Lord descended amongst the Yadus, his glories eclipsed the Ganga as a holy place. Both those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. So who's an example of someone who's attained, who hated him, whose consciousness was fixed on him in dvesh? Shishupal? Kamsa specifically, Shishupal in dvesh, in enmity, and Kamsa in bhaya, fear. And Putana also. But Kamsa attained Sarupya Mukti, because he was always thinking about Krishna, he ended up with a form quite like Krishna, it's fully spiritual. Kamvada elum charanam brajima. Like Putana was given such incredible mercy. So this is the glories. So more about the glories of Krishna. The first first point here is that Krishna's glories, when he descended to this world, eclipsed or covered the glories, or was so much greater than the glories of the Ganga. And everyone who touched him by their consciousness attained eternal forms in the spiritual world like his, even if their consciousness was pratikul against Krishna. Still, this touching him with the consciousness is unlimitedly purifying. Prabhupada once said, saying Hare Krishna is bad is good. Prabhupada said, you say Hare Krishna is bad, that's good, because Hare Krishna is good, supremely good. The unattainable and supremely self-satisfied goddess of fortune, for the sake of whose favor everyone else struggles, belongs to him alone. When the verse says that the goddess of fortune is unattainable, what does that mean? Because then it's saying that she belongs to Krishna alone. Sri Chiram Mritavata, she performed austerities to attain his lotus feet for a long time. What place did she perform those austerities? Have you been? That's an interesting place. Have you been there, Daitana? The place where Lakshmi Devi performed her austerities, yeah. In Bilvavan, Lakshmivan. It's a very, very secluded place. By this, the Yamuna encircles it, practically speaking. So what does it mean that she's unattainable? Well, what does it mean, unattainable? She's chanchala, she's flickering. That means she comes and visits someone for some time, and everyone wants Lakshmi Devi or fortune to stay in their control and possession continuously. But Lakshmi Devi is self-satisfied, so she doesn't need to be with anyone of this world. So no one can attain her continuously by anything that they have. No one can attract her because she's self-satisfied. But she belongs to him alone, so unattainable by anyone other than Krishna. So this again is speaking about the glories of Lord Krishna. So this summarizes Lord Krishna's glories. Another glory. His name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. So he's so powerful that even his name, which is none different from him, destroys all inauspiciousness just by saying it. So just by saying his name or hearing his name, which is, takes even less endeavor by someone, because when you say the name, you have to, some voice, some air has to be expelled, the mouth has to move, but by hearing you don't have to do anything. But it's so powerful. So if his name is so auspicious that it removes all inauspiciousness, so he is obviously all auspicious, obviously. He alone has set forward the principles of the various disciplic successions of sages. What wonder is it that he, whose personal weapon is the wheel of time, relieved the burden of the earth? what wonder. How is it amazing that when he came to relieve the burden of the earth, he was able to do it because his personal weapon, the chakra means time. It's his energy. Time is his energy. So if he controls time, so therefore, is it difficult for him to relieve the burden of the earth or to remove anything or anyone from the earth that he desires? No, because he's the ultimate remover in this world. So, and that's his energy, his force. So he can use that force in any way he likes, at any time he likes, because time is his. It's in his hand. It's in his hand. He can use it as he likes. And in the spiritual world, there's also time. But it's used in his service as it is in the material world. But there's no forceful rushing of past, present, and future in the spiritual world. It is all mysteriously just serving Krishna. Past, present, and future are interchangeable continuously. And the past can appear as the present, and the future can appear as the past, and that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Because it's not hard for Krishna, because that energy, which is unstoppable in this world, the time factor, which is an energy, a shakti of the Paramatma, it is his energy. Let me read the verse again, because this really, this verse and especially the next verse, these two verses especially talk about the glories of Krishna directly before the glory of his dynasties. Again, because his dynasties are so powerful, so therefore the source of the dynasties is so powerful. The dynasty of anyone in this world who has some power has no one has any power independent of him. So there's never any reason to be proud. So here's the verse again. Let's see. Count the points of the glories of Krishna. The heavenly Ganga is a holy place of pilgrimage because her waters wash the Lord's lotus feet. Lord Krishna's lotus feet. But when the Lord descended amongst the Yadus, his glories eclipsed the Ganga as a holy place. Both those who hated Krishna and those who loved him attained eternal forms like his in the spiritual world. The unattainable and supremely self-satisfied goddess of fortune, for the sake of whose favor everyone else struggles, belongs to him alone. His name destroys all inauspiciousness when heard or chanted. He alone has set forth the principles of the various disciplic successions of sages. What wonder is it that he whose personal weapon is the wheel of time relieved the burden of the earth? So very clearly the glories of Krishna directly. Yanama Mangala Ganam Sritam. Either saying or hearing his name is all auspicious. How many glories were in there? Huh? You probably connected the first one with the second one. Ganga is so glorious, but he is more glorious. Now here's a question, and then we'll read the purport. Let's see if it talks about Sakutai Tirtha, O King. No, it doesn't directly mention Krishna. But why do we say? Because we don't think of the Ganga as having as holy because it was Krishna's lotus feet. We think of it's holy because it washed Vamanadeva's lotus feet. So why do we say, why can we say Krishna's lotus feet? Is that being too general?
think.
Stumped everyone with this question, or maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Why do we? Why is it correct?
Is that just a simple answer? That because all the different incarnations come from Krishna?
Yeah. Well, actually, all the lila avatars they descend through Shridaksha Vishnu, and Shridaksha Vishnu is an expansion of Gaurdaksha Vishnu, is expansion of Karanadaksha Vishnu, is expansion of Mahasankarsan, is expansion of Sankarsan and Dwarka, Baladev, who's an expansion of Baladev. So it's an expansion of expansion, expansion, expansion. So to say, so Krishna has vamana, and then when Krishna comes, all the avatars enter within him. So when you say, it's like when you could say the president is here. But if you say, who's the prime minister in Australia nowadays? Kevin Rudd? Yes?
Yeah.
Yep. It's hard to remember new ones. They come and go like the waves of the Ganga. So you can say, if you say Kevin Rudd did it, that means the Prime Minister, or you say the Prime Minister did it, but Kevin Rudd includes the concept of the person, includes all the other concepts as well. So Krishna includes all the other incarnations, but yet Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, he's the original. So this is the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. So here's the purport. So which glory inspired you the most? Did you find it most interesting?
He holds time. He has the control of time. Because, you know, time is so troublesome to a living entity, you know, running out of time, or they're killing time, or they're
time passing.
Mm-hmm.
And time is so heavy because the good times, there are times that are good times, and everyone has good times, but they don't last.
Mm-hmm.
Time moves onward.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it's
other times come.
Intimidating to our very being.
Hmm?
Intimidating. It's
terrifying. Yeah. When you confront the time factor, it causes a specific feeling. And it's like if you go to the top of a very tall building and holding on tightly, you look over. Do you know that particular feeling that you get in your stomach? Do you know that? Do you know that? No?
Yes.
Yes. You know?
Yes.
You are knowing? You are knowing? Yes?
Depending on how brave you are, it depends on how tall the building has to be. First floor.
But that's the time factor. That's actually what you're experiencing. From the pit of one's stomach. It's a terror. And it doesn't come from the mind. And it doesn't come from the intelligence. A terror enters the consciousness. You're experiencing the time, the chakra of the Lord.
When Lord Brahma went down the lotus stem, trying to find his origin, and he experienced a terror.
He hit the time factor and came up as quickly as he could.
Yeah.
But the lotus stem, yeah. You know, the universe is within the lotus stem, all the planets. But they weren't manifest at that time. What other one was most interesting to you? Because, do you remember why? It was so
to relate to
the... That was a little later, but why was that so more glorious than the Ganga?
Because
really eclipse
that what you approach it, no matter what your condition is, it's so powerful, it purifies Krishna. No matter if you approach Krishna with enmity, like Sisupal, Kamsa, and so many others, Agasura, so many others, or with great love, then one has benefited, attained a spiritual form. But of course there is a difference. And if someone approaches with great love, they don't get exactly the same result as someone who approaches with great hatred. Otherwise,
was one.
Huh? Why bother?
Was one.
Anyone else want to say one that was seemed interesting to them?
For hearing the name, not spiritual form.
Yeah, hearing or chanting. So that was one of the missions that Prabhupada really gave his devotees, is to let as many people as possible hear the holy name of Krishna and bring some auspiciousness to their lives. Okay, here's the purport. From the beginning to end, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam has been exclusively, solely and only dedicated to reciting the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. As Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, this verse sums up the 10th canto by mentioning 5 special glories of Sri Krishna that even his expansions, plenary portions, and incarnations do not display. So there are 5 specific glories of Krishna that are mentioned here. The devotees here are so glorious, they found even more. First glory. Lord Krishna's reputation eclipsed that of the holy Ganga when he descended into the Yadu dynasty. Previous to this, Mother Ganga was the most sacred of all tirthas, holy places, being the water that had bathed Lord Vamanadeva's lotus feet. Another river, the Jamuna, became even greater than the Ganga by contacting the dust from Sri Krishna's feet in the district of Mathura and Braja. Ganga sataguna prayo mature mama mandale yamuna vishuddha devi natra karya vicharana. The renowned Yamuna in my domain of Mathura is hundreds of times greater than the Ganga. About this there can be no dispute, O goddess. That's from the Varaha Purana. So how many of you have bathed in the Ganga? How many of you have bathed in Yamuna? No? Ganga? Yes, Yamuna, no. You, do you have any Yamuna water or Ganga water?
We have a little of that all
Okay, where is it?
But I've seen it around different times.
You drank water from the Ganga. Put it in your mouth. That was from Gomukh Ganga. So that was the first glory. The Krishna's glory is even greater and greater and purifying in fame, and everything is greater than even the Ganga. Second, Lord Krishna gave liberation not only to his surrendered devotees, but also to those who considered themselves his enemies. Devotees like the cowherd girls in Braja and others obtained his personal association by entering into his eternal pleasure pastimes in the spiritual world, while inimical demons killed by him attained the Sayuja Mukti of merging into his divine form. When he was present on this earth, Lord Krishna's compassion extended to his family, friends, and servants, and also to his enemies and their families, friends, and servants. Great authorities like Lord Brahma have mentioned this fact. Sadvishad eva puttanapi sakula tvam eva deva pata pita. My Lord, you have already given yourself to Putana and her family members simply because she dressed herself as a devotee. That's such a it's a nice point about Krishna's kindness, that this is what Brahma said. He said that if you've given yourself and benefited, made and brought to the spiritual world Putana, just because she had practically the opposite of devotion, but the smallest particle, he saw the good in her, that she was dressed as someone wanting to serve him, even though her heart was full of enmity for him and she wanted to kill him. So if you give yourself and bring her to the spiritual world, how are you going to reciprocate with the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan? I can't understand this, Lord Brahma said. And therefore, Sri Uddhava said, Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Brijema, that who can find a more worshipable Lord who has this kind of mood? The kind of mood that if even the slightest tinge of affection, even though it's completely imitative, he reciprocates with in such a wonderful way. What to speak of? What to speak of? If you develop some bhakti for him, how is he going to reciprocate? So if we can trust that point, let's say there's so many things in our lives that cause us anxiety. Maybe it's only me. But if you and me actually trusted that, okay, I may not be very much of a devotee, but Krishna is he's so kind, and that he's actually taking care of me regardless of whatever I lack in devotion, that he's such a kind supreme personality of Godhead, bhakta vatsalya atma prajanta vidanyata. So if you just think of Krishna, that he's taking care of you even now, the anxieties that we feel in life can't coexist with that thought. They can't exist at the same time with that. Sometimes I ask the devotees when I remember this point, I ask them to close their eyes and just imagine. You can do it. Just imagine for a moment that Krishna is right there. Think of a nice, beautiful form of Krishna. Everyone should do this except for Dhruv. Think of a nice, beautiful form of Krishna. And of course, he can be with his beloved devotees or whatever. And just for a moment, just accept that Krishna, that you are in the care of Krishna. That Tava Smriti Chayachate Abhayam. That Krishna promises to take care. So if you just actually trust for a moment that beautiful Krishna is so kind, and you can offer him something, even in your mind, and he accepts it. Whatever you wish to offer him, even in your mind, he accepts that, whether it's a mango or a huge jewel like a ruby or an emerald or gold or a nice temple or whatever. And he accepts it, and he'll always care for you. Not that we don't have to go through life, but going through life under the protection of Krishna, despite its ups and downs, it's completely different from being unprotected by someone. It's like being anatta, an orphan or a beloved son. Okay. Krishna consciousness is based on the point that we give ourselves to Krishna and place ourselves under Krishna's protection. And based on that, love develops. Based on that type of saranagati. Did you feel some of your anxiety going away?
Yes.
Let's imagine if we actually were fixed in our relationship with Krishna, how wonderful. How much easier our life would be. So, if our life is difficult, and we think if we trusted Krishna, then our life would be so much free from anxiety, then who is causing the difficulty in our life? So that was the second one. So Brahma says that, my Lord, you have already given yourself to Putana, family members, simply because you dressed yourself as a devotee. So how are you going to reciprocate? He's seen this nature of Krishna. So how is he going to reciprocate with the ones who love him completely, or even the ones who are just moving towards him? He actually describes in the 10th canto, more especially if we read the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he reciprocates with those who are moving towards him. Gives them trouble. That's so that all the false shelters taken away, all the things that we think, oh, I must have this, and otherwise I can't exist, I can't be happy. It's gradually just, because that's what it means to be in this world, practically speaking. We really need to find our real shelter, and be living in that real shelter. That's what life is for, to find a real shelter instead of trying to maintain illusory shelters, because illusory shelters, of course, can't be maintained because they're illusion. You can't maintain illusion because it's illusion. Reality, when there's a fight between illusion and reality, it's like the fight between darkness and light, which wins? The two don't coexist, can't coexist the same place in the same time. There's no darkness on the sun. So it cannot be illusory thinking that we're safe, like the ostriches. Do the emus also put their heads under in the holes, or just the ostriches?
I don't know. I don't think that emus do. They run.
They're smarter than ostriches. Ostriches, they're famous, and rabbits. They're famous for that.
Realize, right?
Rabbits just go. But if when the dog is chasing the rabbit, better turn into an emu and run. Emus aren't very smart.
They're not very smart.
There used to be an emu in Nunandagram, remember that? Now?
No, Bishop was saying he used to come before. There was some in the forest, I think.
No.
Or neighboring somewhere.
He used to be in a cage.
Yeah, they had locked him up later.
Oh, really?
Garden area.
Oh, yeah. He just looks so dumb.
did they lock him up because they liked him, or they wanted him to stop giving him trouble?
Because he was moving around and creating all the problems with the prasadam and everyone. So they locked him up.
And then he didn't come back?
No, they locked him up in the cage for 2 days, but I think after the retreat, I don't know what they did with him. They must have left him.
That's not a very big body, like a peacock in a very small head.
Yeah.
We notice peacocks have a very small head, and we
I did notice.
They have very little frame.
Yes. And here's the third reason. So anyway, so the point was that an ostrich puts its head in the ground to escape from danger, and a rabbit closes its eyes, but that's just taking shelter of illusion. So rather than that, we should take shelter of Krishna. We want to build our relationship with Krishna to the degree that we can trust and have faith that if I keep myself with him, he's always with me anyway, but our relationship is strong. Third, so what's the first one? Glories of Krishna greater than even the Ganga. Second, that whoever approached him, regardless of the mood, elevated to the highest position, but not highest in the sense of equal, comes to equal to the Braja Gopikas. Third, Goddess Lakshmi, Lord Narayan's constant companion, whom great demigods serve menially to win her slight favor, was unable to win the privilege of joining the intimate company of Lord Krishna's devotees in Braja. Despite her eagerness to participate in the Rasa dance and other pastimes enacted by Sri Krishna, and despite the severe austerity she underwent to achieve that end for a long time, she could not transcend her natural mood of reverence and her attachment to her position. The sweetness and intimacy Lord Krishna manifested in Vrindavan constitute a unique kind of opulence found nowhere else, even in Vaikuntha. Sri Uddhava says, Yanmarti lila paikam sviyoga mayavalam dasyata vihitam vishmapanam swasya cha subhagade parambadam bhushana bhushanangam. To exhibit the strength of his spiritual potency, Lord Krishna manifested a form just suitable for his human-like pastimes in the material world. This form was wonderful even for him and was the supreme abode of wealth of the wealth of good fortune. His limbs were so beautiful that they increased the beauty of the ornaments worn on different parts of his body. So Lakshmi Devi is fully devoted to Krishna. Fourth, the name Krishna is superior to the name Narayan and to those of all of Lord Krishna's other expansions. These two syllables, Krishna and Na, combine together to destroy all inauspiciousness and illusion. When recited, the name Krishna becomes Shuddha Matta, that is to say, the recitation of Krishna's name totally crushes the excellence of all other spiritual practices described in the revealed scripture, Shruta. In the words of the Brahmanda Purana, Sahasranam na punyanam triravritya tuyatphalam ekavritya tunkrishnasya namaikam tat prayachati. By uttering a single name of Krishna just once, one attains the same benefit as that gained by reciting Lord Vishnu's 1,000 names 3 times. So at this particular point, it would be a good idea if we all utter Krishna's names a minimum of 1 time. I'm too tired.
Krishna!
Thank you. Krishna! Krishna!
Krishna!
Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
Krishna!
Krishna! Krishna! I feel better already. Fifth, Lord Krishna solidly reinstated Dharma, the bull of religion, on his 4 legs of compassion, austerity, cleanliness, and truth. Thus, Dharma could once again become Gotra, the protector of the earth. Sri Krishna also established the religious function of Govardhana Puja to honor his favorite hill, the cows and the brahmanas. Which is Krishna's favorite hill?
Govardhana.
You have seen Govardhana Hill? You have done parikrama? How many times? 2. How many times? 2, more than 1 time?
Yeah. A couple.
How many times have you done? Linda, have you done Prabhupada? One thing that it's written about, that even if you can't walk around Govardhan Hill, even if you go in one gadi, car, a vehicle of some sort, it still counts as a Govardhan Parikrama. That's very good, yes. But sometimes, see, when you walk around Govardhan or Vrindavan, and you feel really like, you know, you're walking fast and everything, and then suddenly a little old lady who's like 80 years old, it's amazing. So inspired, people are inspired there with spiritual energy. He also became the hill, Gotra himself, assuming its form to accept the cowherd's offering. Moreover, he cultivated the Dharma, or loving nature, of Braj's divine cowherd Gotras, whose love for him has never been equaled. These are just a few of the wonderful features of Lord Krishna's unique personality. So the next verse, which we won't read today, we'll read tomorrow, is a verse that's very important and very wonderful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse at Rath Yatra. So tomorrow, Krishna weddings, I read this verse and there's a purport. And then it's over. And I think tomorrow we should finish. Maybe we'll finish the chapter. Prabhu, should I read that last part? Or do you want, will you come tomorrow? Are you able to come? Not difficult for you? Okay. It's wonderful. He uses the name of Gopal. That's why I thought of you. See my brother telling you there.
Yeah.
Linda, I think the water is ready to be filled.